I'm gonna have to move this. Somehow it got, there we go. Now, as long as I don't fall off the edge, we're fine. It's good to see all of you here today. We wrapped up our sermon series last week on kind of what is the church and how we can have an impact. And now I want to talk this morning more about how we can have a greater life. Oftentimes, I think we kind of settle for good enough. Our job is good enough. Our marriages are good enough. Our relationship with our children and grandchildren are good enough. Our income is good enough. Our life is good enough. When I grew up in Eastern Oregon, we didn't have a lot, but I never went with it. But there was when I would settle for good enough. Macaroni and cheese, the greatest gift God's ever created. And when you add hot dogs to it, top ramen noodles. I could live off top ramen noodles. Okay, maybe not. But it was good enough. And that's what we had. My dad told me I could survive butter and milk, amongst other things. But it was good enough. So how many of us here today are living a life that is good enough? Yeah. How many of us here want to be more than good enough? Yeah. So that is kind of what we're going to do today. How we can live not just a good enough life, but we can live a greater life. And I want to turn to the Old Testament this morning. 1 Kings, it's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. It begins with chapter 19, verse 18 of 1 Kings. Elijah went from there and found Elijah, son of Shaphat, of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment and cooked the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Elijah. It's a wonderful story of a man who spent his whole life living good enough. And yet, in a moment, he became a person who is now living a life greater than he could have ever imagined. And what was happening is that God was speaking to Elijah and said that, "I have appointed or anointed Elisha to take on your ministry, to continue it." And so the idea was that Elijah go after and find Elijah and found him out behind the plow, and he put his cloak on him, signifying that he is now the prophet. He is now the one who is going to be trained to take over for Elijah. So Elijah found Elijah, which certainly means he was looking for him, and he began to teach him the ways of God. I want us to know right away this morning that God is always watching you. He is always watching you to see what you are doing and how you are reacting and how you spend your days and how you treat other people. And in that process, you're building your character. Elijah had God's attention. He wasn't working in a corporate office. He wasn't flying in a corporate jet or living in a palace or driving a Rolls Royce or a Mercedes. He was in a field, covered in dirt and mud and smelling of the back end of an ox. And can you imagine that every single day that's what he did? He got up year, year after year, getting up in the morning, hooking up the ox to the plow, and going out into the field from dusk until dawn, or dawn until dusk, I should say. And he did it every day. He never grumbled, he never complained. He did it. And we need to be reminded that God notices us. Sometimes we feel that we're so blind that no one even notices what we do, but God does. He sees what we do, our good days and our bad days. God notices us. He notices our sacrifice, our faithfulness, our commitment. He notices our willingness to do jobs that no one else wants to do. No one else even cares about. Sometimes there's jobs out there where people feel, that's beneath me. I'm not going to do that. When I was pastoring a church in Indiana, I found that I was not only the pastor, but I was the janitor, the preacher, the Bible study teacher, the visitor. I was the chairman of every committee, which was interesting because I'd get committees messed up. But we do it all. And so we need to be willing to do the work. We need to be willing to even do the work no one else wants to do. God is watching you. So how did Elisha get God's attention? Well, I've come up with five things that I saw in the scripture that shows us how he got his attention. First of all, he was busy. He was just sitting around with his hands waiting for that perfect ministry opportunity that sometimes we do. We figure God will lead us to that place. God will direct us to where we need to go. So I'll just wait for that day to come. He was busy. He kept himself busy. He kept himself working. He did what he had to do. The second thing was that he was dependable. He was responsible. God knew that he did a great job. And the interesting thing about this is that Elijah's father trusted him to do the job of plowing the fields. He left him alone. He didn't look over his shoulder or keep an eye on him to make sure he did the job right or did the job to his satisfaction, because he knew he would do it. He was self-disciplined. He lived a disciplined life. His life was in order. And I think that it's a tragedy sometimes that so many of us in the body of Christ view discipleship as some disciplined life, that we are being punished for being disciples of Christ because somehow we feel it's taken us away from having fun. I think God wants us to have fun. I think God wants us to enjoy life. Whatever we're doing, he wants us to have fun doing it. He was also willing to work with no immediate reward. Now, we live in a society where it's, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. If I give something to you, I expect something in return. That's not the way it works. We cannot do that and be Christians so that others can see Christ. We have to do the work and not expect anything in return. How many times someone has come to the church and just wanted to talk? And how many times I've taken them down for a cup of coffee before my address so they can send me the money, but they never did. And so I just don't give them my address. I just say, it's on me. Don't worry about it. How many of us are willing to work and do things knowing nothing is going to come back to us except the blessings of God? And that is far greater than anything anybody can give you. Elijah was a hard worker. He gave himself 100% to whatever he did. Now, some people work really hard at getting out of work. We want to do the least amount as possible, but we certainly like to take the credit. Elijah didn't have to be sweet-talked. He didn't have to get a pat on the back. He didn't have to do any of that to do what God called him to do. He did it. He gave 100%. So I encourage you this morning, whatever you are doing, whether it's singing or playing the guitar or ushering or counting the money or teaching Sunday school or just being in a Sunday school class or helping out at VBS or helping out wherever it is, if you're cleaning the church, whatever, give 100%. Give 100% because God is watching you. Now, yes, all of us like to be appreciated. All of us like to be recognized for our work, praised. It's kind of who we are. It's built into our humanity, our humanness. But the reality is, the only reward that's worth it is the reward that we are going to get from God. That's the reward that lasts. And these were the qualities that Elisha had. And we need to understand something today. The anointing that God puts on our lives is great. It is the yoke-destroyed, burden-removing power that will help us to accomplish the work that God has given us. But the anointing is not a substitute for hard work. It is not a substitute for training and education. It's not a substitute for character. You see, God's anointing is the power for service. Our character is created and becomes the natural attributes of Christ. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their gifts," or by anointing. "You shall know them by their fruits." How we live our lives and how we bless others is those fruits. The fruit of the spirits are qualities and attitudes of Christ manifested through our humanity for the benefit of humanity. And when you put the power of God and the nature of God together, you receive the full manifestation of Christ. It's interesting for Elijah because every day he'd go out and plow the field. Every day he waited. And all the time he was waiting, he was building his character. He was building the person that Christ and God could use. He received an anointing. Elijah was waiting for something, and he was working while he waited. He knew that there was something far greater than plowing the fields. He knew that there was something out there. He just couldn't see it or feel it, but he knew there was something out there that was even greater than what he can even imagine. He knew that something was awaiting him. So he plowed and he waited. He prayed, he waited. He plowed, he watched. He praised God, he watched. He plowed and he expected. His spirit was reaching out just like our spirit needs to be reaching out. He sensed something inside him, something that told him he was done living good enough. He wanted to live a greater life. Many of us know that God is calling us to something more, but we don't know where to start. We need to be challenged to leave good enough behind and be challenged to live a greater life. That means that we need to be willing and able to be kind and generous and humble and love to all people. Because that is the manifestation of Christ. And that's how he lived his life, and that's how we are to live our life. So this morning I want to talk about basically three things that I learned from this piece of scripture. Three things that will help us all, I think, to understand how God invites us. First of all, he invites us to a higher calling. I'm going to say something this morning that might scare you a little bit, but it's true. Most of us are not in danger of ruining our lives, but we are in danger of wasting them. Folks, we waste so much time in pointless arguments and discussions. Our envy, our egos, our frustration sometimes takes us away from truly being Christ-like. Elijah wasn't searching for greater when he was invited to this higher calling, but he certainly knew there was something out there that was better and greater than this. Elijah was plowing the fields when Elijah put his cloak on him, signifying the calling of God. In this day, when we as pastors get called into a ministry, what we do is we lay hands on them and we pray over them. So it's basically the same thing. But there's something that is not something that is a long, drawn-out process. You don't go through training, because if you noticed, even though he was working on his character, this greater call happened in a moment, in a moment. And it's our responsibility to accept this amazing invitation. It means that we have a willingness to follow a person or to follow the life of Christ, to escape the same scenery of defeat and negativity and even material possessions. But here's an interesting part of this. It doesn't mean that we're going to have to do something different or live someplace different or be in a different relationship. That does not what it means. Because our greater calling might be to do exactly what we're doing right now. We're just doing it in a greater way. We're just doing it with a different mindset. We're doing it with a different approach. Because now we have the manifestation of Christ. When our church in Eugene closed and I got a job at a care center, I worked with people who had severe brain trauma. And the great thing about working there, and I'm not making fun of them, is that I could tell them the same joke every day and they wouldn't remember it. See, so I could tell them the same joke on Monday and I could tell it again on Tuesday and they'll laugh and laugh and laugh. I don't know how many times I repeated the same joke. And I still got them laughing. So it's important for me, at least, it was important for me to understand that I wasn't working and pastoring a church, but I was still doing ministry. I couldn't prophesize, I couldn't preach to them or teach them a Bible study, but I was still ministering. And so for you today, you might be ministering in your workplace, where you live, to your family. You might be ministering to your social, the group that you hang out with, maybe the group that you work with, or the patients, or the people that come into your workplace. You might be ministering to your kids, your grandkids, or maybe even your own parents. But God places you there for a reason. And God and Elijah accepted God's invitation to a greater life. And the great thing about Elijah, and this is the most important part of this story, is that what did Elijah do? It's missed sometimes. He burnt the plow, he slaughtered the ox, he cooked up the ox, and he gave it to the people to eat. So in effect, what he did was he accepted the invitation to a greater life, and then he very literally left nothing to go back to. So he had nothing that would cause him to change his mind. God doesn't wait. He doesn't wait for you to be ready. He wants you to burn everything that tethers you and to the world behind and fully trust in him and move forward. Now, I'm not saying that he literally wants you to burn all your stuff. Okay? That would be just weird. Okay? But what he is saying is that if we are truly going to surrender to him and worship him and follow him and be led by his Spirit, then we need things that would prevent us from doing that. To say, yes, I'll do it. And then when it gets a little tough and we get out of our comfort zone, we're always going to go back. what we did before. So we need to get rid of those things. Those plows that you need to burn, what are they today? That's something for you to think about this afternoon when you leave here this week. Think about those plows that you have in your life that maybe you need to burn and get rid of. Maybe it's a resentment, maybe it's dependencies. Maybe you have envy issues or anger issues or just plain excuses. Maybe it's your way of thinking. Maybe you have a bitterness. Maybe you're hard to let go of things. Maybe it's just the fact that you just have a hard time talking to people because you get angry and you get frustrated if they don't see it your way. What are the plows that you need to burn? And then finally, we're looking at the greater things. Jesus said that we would do things greater than him, but he did say that we would do greater things through him. It says in the Gospel of John, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." When we make that decision to do greater things, that means we are making a decisive break from everything that has prevented us from moving forward. There might be some things in your life this morning that you need to get rid of. You know, one of the dangers in churches today is the word tradition. We get stuck sometimes in tradition. And some traditions are wonderful to keep, and we need to keep them. But there are other things, there are other traditions that we make ourselves. Sometimes we need to get rid of those traditions so that we can move forward and see things in a different way. Elijah walked out on the field. Elijah was standing behind 12 ox. And if you ever can imagine how he probably smelled, how he looked, and a lot of people would probably say that and go, "I can't see it. I can't see how God can use that person. I can't see how God could take a person like that who smells like that and is dirty like that." But God knows, because we're all that way. We're all covered in dirt. We all can be smelly. We all could be spending our days behind oxen, and we may not look that spiritual to the world around us. But this is what God says. I can use him. I can use her. I can do something with them. And I'm going to put my anointing on them. I will make them a vessel of honor. I will make them a diadem in my hand and a crown of glory. I will use them to change the world. I believe that is what we are crying out for today, that anointing of God, that anointing that says, "I saw you. I saw how you treated those children. I saw how you played the guitar. I saw how you sang in the morning. I came to church and prayed. I saw how you worked with other people and entertained them and told them about Christ. I saw how you took care of putting VBS together. I saw how you would come in to church," or "I saw how you would encourage people to come to church." Elijah left it all. And Elijah became his spiritual father. He placed him under his jurisdiction. He put himself in school. He became a disciple, a follower, a student. And when it is time for that promotion, God will bring someone across the path as well. Someone you may have never imagined. And while we're out plowing the fields and praying and watching and waiting, God is keeping his eye on us. We may not see it coming, we may not even hear it, but it's coming. Your anointing is coming. Just keep doing the work. Just keep encouraging others We don't want to discourage, we want to encourage. We want to make sure that Christ is felt. We want to make sure that the city of Astoria understands who a First Baptist Church is. We want him to. We want the community to understand that we're not just a group of people that just meet on Sunday morning, but that we are a group of people who love Jesus. And we want nothing more than for others to join us. Our doors are open, our minds and our hearts are open, and we are called to God because our anointing is coming. Our anointing is coming. The anointing is coming to be upon you and upon this church. And we are going to begin to see those changes. Gradually, we will see them. The anointing is coming. And when it happens in an instant. And when it happens, your life will change forever. And you will finally get away from just living good enough. Because good enough is not enough. It's time to live a greater life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my hope and my prayer this morning is that as a church, we can begin to go beyond just good enough, and we can live in a greater life, a life filled with victories, but also a life that's going to be filled with difficulties and trials. But in the end, when we put our trust in you, those victories or those trials, obstacles will be defeated. Those things that we have put in front of us can finally be burned and taken care of. And our lives can be fully ready to be called your disciple, your servant, and the anointing is coming. And we pray this in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.